take a choir and Jerry and congregation. This is my last sermon during this 3 months. I'll be here next Sunday. I am not going to sing, okay? And you can thank the Lord for that, okay? But this is the last time we'll be together like this. And so I just want to thank you for the experience of being your interim pastor. It's meant a lot to me. You know, I learned a long time ago that sometimes when you do things, I sort of call it honest cheating. Somebody said there's no such thing, and I sort of agree in a way, you know. But when I got into working on computers and stuff, one of the first printers I had was a Star printer. But if you looked on my computer, you saw it was an IBM printer. Now, if that's not a lie, I don't know what is. You know what I mean? I definitely had a Star printer, but in my computer, I had an IBM printer, you know. And so I said, what's going on here? And I said, well, this Star printer emulated an IBM printer, so you can use the drivers for the IBM, and that worked. And I said, okay, I sort of understand that, but, you know, we do a lot of things in life and understand a lot of things in life. And things, but like I said, I want to just thank you for the privilege, your support, your prayers and concerns. Thanks. Of course, Linda and I started doing bulletins years ago when things, and she was associational secretary down in South Carolina. You know, when somebody come along and say, you know, look at this bulletin. Have you noticed that? You know, no, I didn't catch that mistake, you know. And so I read a bulletin one time, and down the bottom I had in real, real, real small print, if you find a mistake in this bulletin, please consider it there for divine purpose. We print something for everybody, even those looking for mistakes. And I thought, you know, probably everything ought to have that, you know. If that's what you're looking for in life, there's plenty of those kinds of things. If you're looking for joy, celebration, those plenty of kinds of things. I appreciate Eric tearing about Linda and her experiences and stuff. Now, Linda and Eric did serve on a search committee and things and stuff, and she got to know him over the years and things, and you know, he's always given her advice, and I deeply appreciate that. You know, one year he came to us and said, you know, I found a trip to Bermuda for $125 a piece. Linda said, what? $125? Yeah. Round trip? Yeah. Round trip ticket to Bermuda. She said, okay, tell him, give me information. He got information. So we went down to Miami. Went to the pier and went to the little booth there and said, well, here, we're here. We want this trip to the Bahamas and stuff. And I said, okay. So where's your money? And I gave him money. So they pulled out this little rubber raft and two oars and gave us a compass and said, that way is Bermuda. So I said, okay, you know. So we got in, we were rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And I told Lynn, I said, look, that looks like another boat up there in front of us, a raft just like ours. And so we said, let's see if we can catch up with it. So we rolled really hard and we caught up with it. And Eric was in that raft. And we said, Eric, this is great, man. Surely they give you a ride back, don't they? He said, well, they didn't last year. Appreciate you, brother. You know, sometimes life, things make a difference. And sometimes it doesn't. Reminding of a man eating, went in a restaurant and he sat down to eat. The waiter said, what can I help you with? He said, well, I'd like a steak dinner. She said, well, what do you want with it? And he said, well, I like mashed potatoes with mine. So, what size steak would you like? He said, about 16 ounce. She said, sir, that's a lot of steak. That's all right. I can handle that. So she brought him out, asked him how he wanted it cooked and everything, brought it out, and he sat down and he ate it. And he said, That sure was good. I'd like to have another steak. She says, you want mashed potatoes with it? No, French fries this time. So she said, okay. He ate that and stuff. He said, man, that sure was good. She said, well, would you like some dessert? And he said, yeah, I think I would. She said, what do you want? He said, well, I like a pie. A pie? A whole pie? Yeah, I like a pie. She said, you want it cut in 6 or 8 pieces? He said, well, just cut it in 6. I don't think I can eat 8. Or somebody said, there was a man in a restaurant eating one day, and a motorcycle group came in. And the head of the motorcycle group walked over to him and said, what's that you're eating? He said, well, I'm eating me a steak. He said, well, that's good. And so he just grabbed his fork, stuck it down his steak, started chewing on it, put it back down. And then he said, yes, sir, that is pretty good steak. I think I'll have some more of that. And so he picked it up, made it again, and put it back down. The guy just sat there and looked at him. And finally he said, aren't you going to do anything? He said, no, I don't think so. So he got up, paid for his steak, and went out. Guys were sitting around saying, you know, boy, he was afraid to do anything. He was just scared to death with us. You know, he wasn't much of a man, was it? No, he wasn't. The owner of the restaurant came over and said, can I help y'all with anything else? So, you know, that guy wasn't much of a guy. And he said, no, he wasn't much of a driver either. He just rode over all your motorcycles on his way out. Sometimes it makes a difference in life. We're here to think and making a difference. Paul writing this church in Corinth. Several letters he'd sent them, and he'd continue with some kinds of things there. In fact, there was a group of Christians, I guess you could call them Christians, believers in that day, they had a mindset that was sort of like they were triumphant. They claimed to be filled with the Spirit, but they possessed all they wanted. They were living like kings. They were rich, wise, strong, and honored. They were sort of like those that Caesar had a hold of, you know. Consequently, all things were lawful to them. They possessed knowledge. Perhaps they gave little or no thought to the implications of Jesus' crucifixion. Shared in Corinthians, the first chapter, start in verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? You know, sometimes we can just sort of get caught up in things that we get proud of the wrong things. As followers of Jesus Christ, we must know about His suffering, and we celebrate the fact that He gave His life for us. But He basically asked us to do the same thing, give our life for others. You know, it's great to live in a small town, I think. I enjoy the small town atmosphere. I enjoy the Chautauqua, you know, and all the things that were done there and all the shows and all the people that participated and stuff. I enjoyed all that. But what about that cross and that Christ that died for me that I might have life? What about all the suffering that's going on? What about the hurting? What are we going to do in those particular things? I pastored in South Carolina. A lady came to me. She was bent out of shape. She, for the last 2 weeks, I hadn't been able to talk to my mother and dad. I said, really? She said, yeah, they've been gone. We live next door. I just sometimes just walk out of my house and walk over there and visit with them and stuff. And for 2 weeks, I haven't been able to do that. And I'm just really hurting. Could you help me? And I said, no, ma'am, I can't. I don't understand what you're experiencing. I see my parents, if I'm lucky, 4 times a year. I just can't quite understand what you're going through. She said, yeah, I guess you can't. I said, I do understand it means something to you. And I do understand that it's a crisis in your life. But as a fellow walker in Jesus Christ, I can't quite get a hold of it. Sometimes we need to know, what will God do? How will God be? And how will we share? Paul tries to give us some more reasons to think, let's have some confidence in the Lord. Let's realize that He is with us and caring for us. That there's those things that we can celebrate and enjoy. I had a friend, I was telling, you know, he used to get up in the morning, and when he woke up in the morning, he'd wiggle his toes and he'd thank the Lord. And then he'd wiggle his feet, and then he'd wiggle his legs, and then he'd go up his body and stuff, and wiggle his hands and fingers and stuff, and his arms and things, and blink his eyes and nod his head and this, all before he got out of bed. Just say, thank you, Lord. I'm alive today, right now. Help me as I get out of bed and serve you. First of all, I want us to know some reason to confidence. One, God has you. Whatever your circumstances, whatever what's happening in your life, whether joy or downhearted, heavy burden or anything else, and all in between, God's with you and got you. He's not going to leave you. Probably most of us in life have somebody that just up and left us, you know. You looked around for them and they were gone. They didn't care anymore. They didn't seem to respond to you anymore. They didn't celebrate anymore with you. They might have been our best friend, but they just aren't around anymore. But God's with you. Paul says in Corinthians, in this 6th verse in this chapter, therefore we're always confident. Confident. You know, sort of like something written in stone, solid stuff. We're confident. No, as long as we're home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. How many days do we live by faith, you know? I say, I'm guilty lots of times, I won't live by sight. You know? But sometimes just to say, Lord, thank you for the day. I trust you that you guide me in this particular day. I had a friend come spend some time with me this week. He said, Bill, I think the Lord wants me to talk to you. And I said, okay, what about? And he told me, I said, ooh, that's pretty deep, brother. And he said, yeah, it is sort of deep. But I think you have some words for me. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, you've been preaching a few years, and I'm sort of new in this kind of stuff, and so maybe you can help me out. And I said, well, I don't know. So we talked about it and stuff. And I shared with him. I said, brother, let me tell you one thing. It'd be real easy for me to tell you, this is what you need to do, and that's what you need to do. Real easy. You know, if you just do this, and you just do that, and you just do that, God bless you, which is all true. But I haven't been through the struggles you've been in. And I'm not in your place in life. And I'm not in your shoes. So the thing I'll tell you is, why don't you go back and pay attention to what God's telling you to do. And do that. You know, we each have our own bodies to be in. We each have our own mission. We each have our own purpose in life. But we need to always go back and be with the Lord and say, hey, Lord, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to be doing? How do I need to act? Walking by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I said, we prefer to be away in the body and home with the Lord. You know, hey, compared to, you know, this earthly place, and I enjoy the earth. I appreciate the beauty of the earth. I enjoy it and stuff. You know, there's some things that are just so unique, and some people understand them, some don't. You know, sometimes I just like to cut the grass or smell the grass, you know. It smells good, you know. Sometimes I like to go out in the country, and particularly when they plowed, because plowed land has a feel and a texture that is just a little bit different. Sometimes I like to go up in the mountain and just sit around where there's nothing but trees and, you know, the wind or whatever going on, because that's different too. Yeah, we're home with now. On this earth, being with the Lord is better. We make it our goal to please God, Him, whether we're home in a body away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, we're all going to show up before in front of the Lord. I could tell you all my sins, but it's not going to do you any good when you're in front of the Lord. You say, but Bill Lava, you know, Lord, about his sins? I'd like to tell you about it. He's not going to be impressed by that at all. I hate to include you in on that part. It's just not going to do you any good at all. You're going to be on your own. Whatever you've done and how you've done it and how you've shared and how you've committed yourself, that's going to be your responsibility. You're going to stand there and he's going to say, okay. Each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The Lord's got you. He'll walk with you. And he'll even prepare you for that time being in front of him if you'll let him. If you'll let him. We have freedom in ourselves. We can say no to God. You know, hey God, get out of the room. Bug off. Leave me alone. I don't want to listen to you. I don't care about it. Push on. We can do that if we want to. It's not good advice, I'll tell you that. It's not good advice, but we can do that. But if you'll let him, he has you. He'll walk with you. He'll share with you day in and day out. Second of all, one of the confidences he has is the age to come. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. Now, fear here he's talking about in the Hebrew Bible, the fear of the Lord, and that is wisdom, in Job 28:28. But to fear the Lord your God is terror, in Deuteronomy 10:12. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, in Proverbs 1:7. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided, in Proverbs 16:6. That kind of fear just means reverence. What I call the highest type of respect that you can have. If you're just responding to God because you're afraid, you know, then you're in the wrong place. Here's somebody that loves you and cares about you and wants the best for you. And so you need to hear this coming from love and say, Lord, thank you for loving me so much. Thank you for giving these things to me. You know, I'm thankful for lots of many little things. You know, my wife puts this humidifier down here because if I bend over, I might still have a nosebleed. And she doesn't want me having a nosebleed before I get up here this morning. So she puts this humidifier down here so I can make sure I have moisture. I know this, it's hot and humid outside, and you're wishing trying to suck the humidity out of your house. And here this preacher is standing up here with a humidifier under him. Is he crazy? No, no. I just happen to have to need it for a period of time. And I understand that. She understands it, but she does that for me. You know, I'm just so thankful to have that kind of helpmate and stuff. God is our helpmate, our substance we can respond upon. He is the one that's with us. Paul says, when he's talking about him and the other workers, what we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. It's that persistent notion that we have. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but give you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. Some people just see it. If we're out of our minds, as some say, it is for God. If you're in your right mind, if we're in our right mind, it's for you. He's just sharing with them. You know, sometimes people see things and restrictions and stuff and things. I pastored in South Carolina. I pastored 14 years in church. And there was a person that came almost every Sunday. And it was years, I think, probably, you know, I was there a couple of days. I think it was about my seventh year being there. I found out she wasn't even a member of the church. I asked somebody, how long has she been gone? Oh, about 20 years. I said, she's been coming for 20 years? She's not a member? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I asked her, Doc, you know, I understand you're not a member. No, sir, I'm not. I said, why not? She said, well, I believe my baptism. I was baptized, and I don't think I need to be baptized. I said, I understand that. And I said, let me tell you something, though. As long as you look at it as a requirement, you'll never do it. When you see it's a witness, it might make another thing shape to you. She said, well, I'll think about that. And I said, okay. The Sunday that I told the church that I'd be leaving, she came up to me and said, listen, you know, this 7 years later, I've been thinking about what you said. It is just a witness, isn't it? I said, yeah. It's a way that we as Baptists say we want to witness to the world that we're dead and buried to sin and rise to a new life. She said, I'd like to share that picture. I said, well, Dot, it's getting close. She said, well, could we have a baptismal service? I said, yeah, we could. And we did. Sometimes things change. Nowadays, they call the changes that things have is called a paradigm shift. That things just suddenly change, and if you aren't in a paradigm shift, you're just left behind. In 1970, the Swiss watchmakers took to a world fair the quartz movement and showed it off to the world. But they said, it doesn't have any wheels. It doesn't have any springs. You know, it doesn't have all these things and hands and stuff like a clock needs to have. And they were making the world's clocks. There are thousands of people employed in Swiss clock making. if you got an old clock around, you might have one. Well, they didn't protect it. And so a couple people looked at it, and one of them called Texas Instruments, and the other one called Seiko, and they started working on a quartz clock movement. Anybody know what a quartz clock movement is? Yeah, you're probably wearing one if you're wearing a watch. That's all there is nowadays. You know, there's a few with the wheels and that kind of stuff and spring. But that's the world's making clocks, you know. The paradigm shift. And because of that, the Swiss watchmaking industry went from thousands of workers down to almost nothing. They have adapted. They're doing better. But almost, for a while, they almost went out of existence. There was a paradigm shift with Jesus Christ coming. The paradigm shift that there was a new age, a new time, a new covenant made from love. Some people got it. Some didn't. There's some still wanting to be the old way and the old way of doing things. But like the scripture said, to those who are being changed by Jesus Christ, it's a message to be known. It's something to be glorious about. It's something to be excited about. To see the excitement that happens in somebody's life when they just say, hey, I had experience with the Lord yesterday. It just thrilled me to be able to see. And what was that? Oh, I saw something new and different, just in a different light. It was a God's creation. It was thing. For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised again. And third of all, he gave this idea of being a new creation, that we can be born again. You know, it goes back to Nicodemus meeting with Jesus Christ, saying, well, how can this be, you know? Because he was thinking earthly and Christ was talking spiritually. He wasn't grabbing a hold of what it is. But here's one of the great passages of Scripture in 16 and 17 of 2 Corinthians. So far now, as we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regard Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone, you know, God's kingdom is open to everybody. Doesn't matter about anything, you know. Doesn't matter about your background, your family, your friends, your job, your height, your weight, you know. Whether you sleep 8 hours, or whether you work night shift, or whether you work day shift. Not all that stuff requires, you know, no, anyone in Christ. The new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. You know, when you have the burden of sin on you, and it's just weighing you down, and it can just keep pressing on you and pressing on you. And you can try all kinds of things. People try all kinds of things to get away from it. You know, sometimes in kids in the rebellion years, they go out and experiment on all kinds of things. The only thing is, sometimes they experiment with it and it becomes an addiction to them. And then they're stuck with it the rest of their lives because they don't know how to get rid of the addiction. But in Jesus Christ, he said, hey, in me, you can become a new creature. And you, me, that old will pass away. Things become new. And you know, I know I love the Lord, but I hope tomorrow I'll love Him more than I do today. And the next day I hope I'm better than that, you know. That's sort of the aim, isn't it? In Him that we, you know, just keep on growing, keep on celebrating. We've gone through this time of renewal as church, and you know, the last session will be Wednesday night about how to pray. We haven't exhausted praying. We've just hit some high points. And you can go deeper in it in so many different ways, so many different phases. You can become more a new creature in Him because of that. We said, no, just confess your sins. Ask for forgiveness. Ask me into your heart. I'll come in. And I'll dwell with you. That's what our Lord and Savior said. The one that was there at the creation. The one that came to earth. The one that died for us. He says, I'll be with you. And not only that, I'll send a comforter for you every day to walk with you. It's a new age. We ought to have confidence in this new age. May we pray together. Lord, always thank you for time of worship. A time that you can spend with us and we can spend with you. And Lord, we need to respond as you've touched our hearts, our minds, our very souls. Help us as we respond. Whether this day or another day, as we spend some time with you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we can love you. For Christ's name we pray. Amen.